Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, it's another day and another Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio. Hey, I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio while Todd is out at Kennesaw State University this week. He's looking for students to annoy. Now, you know he's not annoying them. He is actually looking for students to witness to and share Jesus with. You know, he is good at that. And they say, you know, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. So let's turn it over now to Todd and see who he's planning to annoy right this moment. Todd?
Welcome to LARPing 101. Our guest expert is Brittany. They're LARPing over there.
Yeah, they are. It's actually my first time visiting to see some of this happening, but it's actually really cool. They basically are playing characters, and they...
But it's so violent.
It is a little violent.
And I'm really totally okay with it. I'm just surprised that our current culture allows for something so... mean.
Yeah, well, when we were growing up, a lot of role-playing and stuff was really, regardless of violence, was really accepted. So I think
you were just goofing around like a kid.
And we're goofing around out here.
Like an adult. Okay.
Like an adult.
All right, so Brittany, I want to ask you 5 questions.
Okay.
All right, these are going to be philosophical questions.
Okay.
You ready for that?
Yes.
Right. Here's the first one. It's a teleological question.
Okay.
Why are you here?
I believe I spread positive energy.
Well, that may be the case, but is that the purpose for your existence?
I would hope so.
Where did you come from? I'm talking big picture stuff here.
Big picture.
Yeah. So where did you're a human being. You're walking erect. You can communicate. You appear to be more intelligent than like the grass or a dog, as wonderful as those things are. So where did you come from? How did you become a human being and have life?
Honestly, sure. I believe a lot in like chemistry and biology. So I think it was just like a mutation type of thing.
So evolution.
Yeah, evolution. Right. Very much so.
All right. So how do you know how you're supposed to live while you're here? What's your rule book for living?
Honestly, I try to be as best of a person as I can. And I play by my own rules, honest.
So you're writing the rules.
I am writing the rules, which is probably very not...
Scary?
I was going to say scary is very a good word.
Okay. All right. So when you fail to live up to what you believe are the rules, mm-hmm. a religious person would call it a sin. Somebody who's secular might just say, you know, some mistakes, life lessons. That sense of failing, how do you deal with it?
It's kind of like you said with mistakes. I just believe I made a mistake and maybe that's not the path I want to go on next time and try to, you know, fix the mistake that was made, you know, do better.
Right the wrong. All right.
Yeah.
And then finally, number 5, if you've been doing the math on this, when you die, what happens?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know, because a lot of people talk, you know, heaven, hell type of thing. I think you just like... don't exist and you like transform into something else, like maybe an animal. Something.
Reincarnation.
Yeah. Is that crazy?
It kind of sounds like you're making it up on the spot, I'll be honest with you.
Well, it's hard because what I believe in is a little not the norm.
What's the norm?
Exactly. What is the norm, though?
I think I know the norm.
What is it?
That was pretty bold, wasn't it? Reason with me.
Okay.
All right. Let's see if we can make our way to what the norm is and answer all of those questions holistically, meaning that they all make sense together. Because a worldview might get 1 or 2 or 3, maybe even 4 of them. But if you're off on the 5th one, the whole thing falls apart.
Definitely.
It all has to harmonize really well. So reason with me. This is pretty simple. This microphone, I know that there is a factory someplace with engineers who put this thing together and intricately designed it. I know that by looking at the proof, even though I've never been to Germany, to visit the factory or to meet the engineers. I know there's engineers. I know there's a maker of microphones because I hold the proof in my hands.
Right.
Right. I look at the creation. similarly, and I just intuit immediately. There's a creator. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. Are you buying this?
Yes.
All right. So creation proves there's a creator. Now let's keep reasoning. Can you and I agree that there are some things that are always wrong?
Yes.
Give me an example of what would always be wrong. All times, all places, no exceptions.
Murder?
I'm with you.
Off the top of my head.
I'm with you. I think hurting somebody, raping somebody, there's never, ever, ever justification for that. Right? Now, here's the problem. If there is no standard for what is right and wrong, you and I can't make that claim.
Right.
In other words, there has to be somebody who's in authority who has determined those things are always wrong. Otherwise, murder would be a preference issue because there's no law authority to determine that's always wrong in all times. We'd all be talking about murder as being a preference. Rape, well, you know what? You don't prefer rape, but I do, so it's okay. But because there is a supreme moral authority, we have morals that are always authoritative. Are we together?
Yes.
So here's what we've got. Creation tells me there's a creator. Mm-hmm. Justice tells me that there is a law giving a moral being that has determined these things. Mm-hmm. All right? Keep going with me. If there's a creator who made the creation, that means you and I are made.
Yes.
Right? And as I look around, like that dog over there, that's a really pretty dog. It's a puppy, but it's really a beautiful dog.
It is.
The guy at the end of the leash is better than the dog.
I suppose.
Come on.
But you gotta love animals too.
I do love animals. I didn't say I hated the animal, but I'm just saying the human beings are better.
Debatable. Dogs are humans too.
No, they're not. They're dogs.
They still,
They have some emotions, but they aren't as sophisticated in their emotions.
How would we know?
Because he's on the end of the leash. He's being walked. He gets trained.
True, but he can talk to us to let us know that we understand.
Exactly. But you and I can.
True.
We're not wagging our tails. We're talking.
Very true.
Okay, so here's where I'm going with you, Brittany.
Okay.
You and I communicate. Mm-hmm. You and I are probably the height of the creation. Mm-hmm. These buildings, they weren't made by dogs. They were made by people.
Very good point.
Right? Okay. We communicate. That tells me the creator communicates. You and I, we have emotions like love. So I'm guessing this creator is love. We have a sense of justice, right and wrong. So this creator must be just.
Right.
We have court systems. So there must be some sense of dealing with people's wrongdoings. Otherwise, we wouldn't have these things. They wouldn't really exist. So now I'm kind of getting a picture of this creator as somebody who's loving, just, relational. Because you and I, we just met. We're having a bit of a relationship in that two human beings just chatting, even though you're leaning away from me, which is a little bit of a signal. You're getting annoyed with me, but nevertheless. So I'm kind of intuiting my way to trying to figure out who this being is.
Right.
The creator is loving, just, communicative, creative, because it's very creative, artistic, powerful, because it's a huge universe. Right. So that is what I would say animates everything about the universe, the creator.
Okay.
If that's the case, then if we communicate, that tells me this being communicates. Has this being spoken?
I believe whenever you believe in something that it has to communicate with you, or it's very one-sided and it just doesn't work. So I do believe whatever you or whoever believes in whatever they believe in, that there's a communication. Sometimes it's not always two ways. Sometimes there's a little delay in like the radio, but.
All right, I want you to do me a really big favor right now. All right? Your generation.
Yes.
Actually, it gets made fun of a lot.
I don't blame them.
I do. I don't like it. I like your generation. I really do. And one of the coolest, almost everybody that I don't know if you're Gen Y, Gen Z, whatever. You're younger than me.
That's the whole point. You're younger than most people who are elders.
But you're always, can't say always, but you're so nice, okay?
Oh, thank you.
All right. Okay. So I don't want you to be as nice as I want you to be honest with what I'm about to say. Because right? I don't want you, because sometimes I wonder, it's like, you guys, you let everybody talk and you let everybody say things and you're nice to them. I don't want you to do that. I want you to be brutally honest with me. Okay.
Okay.
So here's my worldview. Here's how I put all of this together. I believe that, let's call it God, created the universe. Mm-hmm. and that there is justice and there is love and there's forgiveness and there's punishment, there's art, there's beauty, there's all of these things, because that describes God.
Right.
All right. And with that, now I need to figure out who that God is, because I've got this thing called a conscience, that courtroom in my brain. I don't write the rules. The one in authority writes the rules, and I haven't kept the rules. I know I haven't. I know I've been mean to my siblings. I know I've been mean to my wife. I've been mean to my children. I've lied at times. Mm-hmm. I've had pride, and I know that's wrong.
Right.
I get mad at drivers. I have thoughts that I shouldn't have. And I've got to deal with that. There's something inside of me that says it's got to be dealt with, because if we've got court systems, there's got to be a dealing of justice mm-hmm. for everything, not just the murderers, the genocidal maniacs, and the rapists, but for all wrongdoings, lying, cheating, stealing, lusting, all of it.
Right.
It's got to be dealt with somehow. So now my question is there any system out there that deals with that?
All right, it is break time now on Wretched Radio. Hang tight, stay with us, and when we return, we'll get right back to Todd and Brittany's chat as Todd digs a little bit deeper into Brittany's worldview. Stay with us. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over three decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at fortisplus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage, parenting, mental health, cultural engagement. The challenges facing today's Christians aren't getting any simpler. But at Fortis Institute, we believe God's Word provides the clarity you need. That's why we brought together some of Christianity's most trusted voices under one roof. This isn't just another ministry. It's your daily source for biblical strength and wisdom. All at fortisinstitute.org. Fortis Institute, because standing firm doesn't mean standing alone. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. Join us at fortisinstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. If you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome back to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Before the break, we were eavesdropping on Todd chatting with Brittany at Kennesaw State University, and Todd had just laid out our natural condition as fallen sinners, the guilt and the shame we all have that comes from being a lawbreaker. So let's get back out to campus now and listen in as the conversation continues.
Is there any system out there that deals with that, that helps me with my guilt feelings, my shame feelings, my lack of purpose feelings?
I go through the same thing, so I'm not honestly sure. That's why I take a lot of the matters into my own hands, besides what I can't deal with. Obviously, what you believe in your higher power sometimes has more control in a lot of those situations. And I believe and I hope that the higher power would take care of the situations I cannot, that are, you know, not, you know, I'm not godly. So I can't deal with some of those situations and fix them. No. So I just hope that and put faith into what I believe in will take care of it and hopefully fix it or show me which way I need to go to direct.
This is the part now where I'm going to ask you to be really honest.
Okay,
here it comes. Because this part is going to get a little dicey.
Okay.
I want to help you to conceive of who I think that God is.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me if you think it's right or wrong. All right.
Okay.
And here's how I want to do it. I want to do this a little bit unusually. I want to imagine that you, Brittany, have a date, not with destiny, but with God, the creator, your maker. And this just God is going to open up the books on your life. Because he's an eyewitness to everything, including the thoughts in our brains. And he, because he's just, is going to settle the score. Justice is going to be satisfied. So I want you to imagine whatever the scene looks like. It's a cosmic courtroom. You get pulled before the judge who knows everything about you, every thought, word, and deed, everything you've done in darkness, everything you should have done that you didn't do, and vice versa. And he opens the books and he sees everything, the lying, the cheating, the dishonoring parents, all of those, I'll call them sins, okay?
Right.
Would he find you, Brittany, innocent or guilty in his courtroom of justice?
Well, I know that most likely these people who are doing the justice are most likely godly because they're working with God. So I'm assuming they're-
This is God himself.
Oh, God himself.
Yeah, he's sitting up on the bench.
Well, I would hope he would be understanding that humans have human thoughts, human processes, human actions. But like we said, murder, you know, rape, that kind of thing is obviously really, really bad. I would hope he would be understanding to the fact that we are human. I think I would be, you know, innocent. So
let me bring you back down to earth. You break 10 laws, whatever it is, speeding, whatever you choose. All right. And you stand before the judge and you say, Judge, I know I'm guilty, but I'm human. Will he let you go?
I would hope so.
No, he will not. He can't let you go. He's sworn to uphold justice. Of course you're human.
Right.
But that's not an excuse for wrongdoing.
No, definitely not. And I understand that. So it's kind of hard because it's like, where's, you know, the thinking process between humans and obviously God is a little bit different too.
I agree. But I think the problem, though, is If they're like pretty good at what they do, he's going to be perfect at it.
Yeah. And you can't just let everyone go either. You have to uphold the justice system.
Bingo. I agree totally. I think that's reasonable. And I think that I can intuit that that is what is correct just based on my human experience here. All right. So the truth is, like me, I'd be guilty because I haven't kept God's laws. I have done bad things. We'd both be guilty, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. As far as what his laws are, I think I would be guilty. But as far as maybe being a good human, I would be innocent.
Well, if I were comparing, here's what we tend to do.
We do compare that.
Let's just say we could make time just like one single minute. And there was a jail and it had Adolf Hitler and Genghis Khan and Stalin and Pol Pot and all these terrible guys. You know what they'd all be saying? He's worse than I am.
Yeah, definitely comparing. Definitely. Right. See, I can see that now that you kind of paint that kind of picture.
I'm so pride-filled. I think I'm better than everybody, frankly, because it's me we're talking about. I love me way too much.
Right.
Right. And so I have a tendency to be blind to my own shortcomings.
Right.
So God's law the standard of righteousness, we'll just say, is embodied in the Ten Commandments: lying, stealing, lusting, honoring God. So that's kind of a moral code that we all have. I've broken those laws. You've broken those laws. We'd stand before God guilty. Now, here's the scary part. What should God do with guilty criminals? Send them to heaven or send them to hell?
Well, if we're going on that page, there is, you know, purgatory if you believe in that. But I guess a lot of people would go to hell. And, you know, the angels, you know, people I believe are angels, would, you know, go to heaven.
All right. I don't know who those angels might be, but let's just talk about you and me. If we've broken God's laws because he's just, he must punish lawbreakers. He's got to do it. Otherwise, he'd be unjust. So that's, I'm sharing my worldview with you, taking you into God's courtroom of justice. All right. So here's the big problem, Brittany, and I think we all kind of sense this, which is why so many people invent systems to feel better about life. Mm-hmm. We have a conscience that confirms we've done wrong in the eyes of our Creator, and there's a price to pay. And I'm scared. I'm afraid to die and meet my Maker. All right, let's fast forward. Remember, we're trying to answer these big five questions holistically where they make sense. This is what I believe. Where did we come from? God made us. He actually custom designed you, knit you together in your mother's womb. Your maker, your designer, your creator, and your owner is God himself. Okay. And he's put you on this planet to glorify him, obey him, to follow him. The problem is we haven't done that and we've fallen short and I've got a guilt problem.
Okay.
And he dealt with, you know, it's funny you said something. You kind of hope that God would like figure out a way to help me with this. He mm-hmm. did figure out a way to help us with this. Jesus Christ, you've heard the name.
Yes.
He went to Catholic Church.
Yes.
Is God in the flesh.
Yes.
Who came down from heaven, never broke the laws, never sinned in any way, and voluntarily went to a cross because something was happening there. It wasn't just a guy getting beat up and murdered. Jesus Christ was taking the wrath of God for the crimes that you and I have committed upon himself.
Right.
He was being punished for our sins. Our sins were laid on him. Mm-hmm. And what the Bible teaches is his righteousness, his perfect keeping of the law, can be credited to us so that when we die, we can stand before the judge and be found innocent because Jesus Christ has paid our fine. All of these questions then are harmoniously satisfied for me. I'm made by God. I was made to live for God, but I haven't. Therefore, I've got a sin problem. God saved me from my sin problem. So now when I die, I get to be with him, the one who died to save me. And all of my big questions about life are satisfied holistically in Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what I believe. Now, I want you to be totally, totally honest with me.
Okay.
Is what I believe true?
I don't know if I can tell you if it's true or false because it's, you know, your truth, how you function and how you deal with your sins and stuff.
I understand. But here's my challenge for today.
Okay.
And you've been very polite, but I still want you to be really super honest. All right. I can believe this microphone is the supreme being of the universe.
Okay.
And when I die, I'm going to sing into this microphone in front of 20,000 people who scream my name and applaud me every single night because I believe this microphone is God. Okay. You would tell me I'm
really wrong.
Thank you.
Really
All right.
Wrong.
Right. So now I can't say, but that's my truth. You'd say, well, look, you believe it, but that doesn't make it true. This is either the supreme being of the universe or it's not. It's either true or false because beliefs do not leave the realm of reality.
So you want me to tell you if I think it's true or false, your beliefs?
Yes, ma'am.
Me personally, I think it's false, even though I was raised differently.
Yeah. I'll leave you with two thoughts and then I'll scoot because you've been really cool to talk to me this amount of time. One, what I just presented to you is not Catholic.
Yes, right? No, definitely.
Because Catholic says you've got to clean yourself up to make yourself acceptable to God. What I just said is we can't clean ourselves up.
Yeah, yours is more generic. Yours is more borderline. And I'm just basing it off of what I've known.
Because
well, I don't have generic.
What I describe, the Catholic system is works. You got to work your way to heaven. What I just described is grace. You've worked your way to hell, but Jesus will give you grace and he'll offer you mercy and forgiveness free and clear based on nothing we've done, but on everything he's done because he's that good. And the second thing I would leave you with is my encouragement to you would be to at least just consider what this total stranger said to you today, how the worldview that I just presented, it kind of answers those five questions and makes sense of the big questions that we should be asking. without contradiction. It all kind of works. Mm-hmm. And so my encouragement to you, because it is a free country for now, and you have the right to believe whatever you choose to believe. Mm-hmm. So I've just presented my case to you for Jesus Christ. I would ask you to consider those claims and just wrestle with them today while you're watching the LARPers.
Okay.
Is that fair?
I'll think about it. Right. I'll consider it.
Now, are you just being nice or are you being honest?
Probably being nice, honestly.
I asked for it, so fair enough. All right. That's all I can do. All right. Hey, thank you very much.
And that is a teachable moment for us all. A very, very good example of, number one, someone that we all definitely need to be in prayer for. And number two, it is a good example of what clear and direct rejection of the gospel looks like. When you're evangelizing and you feel rejection of what you just shared, be kind. And remember, it's not you that's being rejected. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that should cause us to hit our knees and pray for those who reject the gospel. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.